family. Let's take our Bibles, go to the book of Revelation chapter number 2 this morning. Revelation chapter number 2. Just one verse in our opening text, and this is part 2 of a message that I started last week, and I'll say more about that as soon as we read our text. Revelation chapter number 2. And if you're able, if you would stand in honor of the Word of God as we read our text here this morning. Of course, verse 1 through 6 is God's admonition, commendation to the church at Ephesus. He says some wonderful things about how they're doing as a church. He gets toward the end of his admonition, and he's basically saying that you've got one thing that you've got wrong with you, and it's a big one. He says, you have left your first love. And then he says, after that admonition, in verse number 7, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I'll end our reading right there. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, this one phrase that we just read, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Lord, it is our prayer here this morning that we would listen to you, that we would hear what you have to say to us, and that our hearts would be open and we would respond. So often, God, you speak, and Lord, we don't listen. I pray that you'd help us. Help me, Lord, to bring this message to the people, to the live stream viewers as well. Lord, may you anoint the truth of the Word of God with your power, with your blessings. And God, use this to draw people to a right relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that you drew me, Lord, some 40 years ago. And I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your Spirit speaking to my heart. And Lord, there are many here today that, Lord, we remember the time when you spoke to our heart so vividly. Lord, perhaps maybe today would be the day that you would speak to someone. We pray that you would. Help us to hear. Help us to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We started a message last week on listening, hearing the Word of God. We were in Amos chapter number 7, and Amos 14, and it said that God would send a famine. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And the message last week was about a condition that I call SADD, spiritual attention deficit disorder. A quick review, we saw last week that the way to deal with this spiritual attention deficit disorder is to, number one, take an inventory of your time. Number two, try to be still. Number three, expose your heart and mind to the Word of God daily. And then number four, which is not exactly that spiritual, is clean your garage. Clean your garage. Or take something and organize it in your life. Just something simple. It could be a desk drawer. It could be your garage. It could be something that you just... it's all filled with clutter. And sometimes just knowing that, hey, if I will put some attention to this, then I can get something off my back burner list. I can get a little bit of clutter out of my life. And maybe if I get a little bit of clutter out of my life, I'll get a little bit of clutter out of my mind. And maybe I can hear what God has to say to me. And I ask this question before I dive into today's message, and that is, how does God speak? I think it's important that we understand, you know, if we're going to listen to God, we've got to know how He speaks. In Numbers chapter number 12 and verse number 6, the Lord says, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him, God says, will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God's saying to Aaron and Miriam, you're speaking against your brother. I know that I've spoke to you. I know that I speak through dreams and visions, and sometimes God speaks in kind of a opaque or a vague way in order to get our attention. But he said with Moses, it's not that way. He says, I'm speaking to him mouth to mouth. Right. Now, God's never spoken to me that way. And I think it's probably safe for me to say he's not spoken to you that way either. God has spoken all different kinds of ways. He said in a dream or in a vision, in the similitude of the Lord. Sometimes God has shown up in the past. Sometimes God has spoke like he did with Job in a whirlwind. And yet with Elijah, God showed up in a whirlwind, but he didn't speak in that whirlwind. Right. He spoke in a still, small voice. How does God speak to us? Well, God speaks to us through the scriptures. We have the scriptures right here, the very words of God Almighty. Not only does he speak through the scriptures, but he speaks through his spirit. Through his spirit. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, how do I know if the Spirit of God is speaking to me? One thing's for certain, the Spirit of God will never say anything different to you than what the Scripture says to you. He will always be consistent with himself. Have you ever been inconsistent with yourself? No, I have. Sometimes I've forgotten what I said in the past. Sometimes maybe I said something in the past and maybe I thought I meant it, but I didn't really mean it. And then the circumstances change. We are never consistent with our words, but God always is. We can count on him. We can be secure in that. But I'll tell you another way that God speaks that is lost in Christian culture today is God speaks through his servants. Do you know that God calls men to preach and to teach his word? God calls pastors. And you know, we're living in a day and age where really we're not a whole lot different than the children of Israel in the book of Judges, where the Bible says in several occasions that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Now listen, I am a pastor, and God called me into the ministry nearly 40 years ago, and I can tell you right up front that you are not looking at a perfect, infallible servant of God. Absolutely not. I've never thought that. I've never insinuated that. And you know what? Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that as servants of God, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God's servants are just men with feet of clay just like you are. And I think it's important that we understand that. God's servants do not need to be exalted. But I tell you what, they are still God's servants. And if we don't believe that God speaks through his servants, then sometimes we are limiting ourselves in hearing the voice of God because we're tuning out his servants as they preach and they teach the word of God to us. What is so special about a servant of God? Well, first of all, God has empowered them with the ability, the giftedness. Not only that, but they have spent time in the word of God preparing. They've spent time in prayer. They have been developing their senses to exercise, to discern between good and evil. And so the servants of God, the preachers, the pastors, the missionaries, the evangelists, they have a position that God has called them to so that he can speak through them. Do you know that David, the psalmist, that much of the word of God in the Psalms, David wrote that as a shepherd and as a king. Think about that. I can just see David out on the hillside playing his harp, watching over the sheep, and you know, just those songs would just come to his mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here's a man that was actually used by God to write some of the very words of God that we have in this book here today. And yet, in his own humanity, remember when he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah? And that went on for about 9 months. Nothing happened. God didn't strike him down with lightning. I mean, you would think that someone, a man after God's own heart, and the horrible sins that he committed, I mean, the atrocity. Uriah was such a righteous and such a just man, and yet David just totally thought that he was nothing in order to get something that his flesh wanted. It's a horrible sin for 9 months. I wonder if David maybe isn't penning some psalms during that 9 months, or at least trying to pen a psalm. I personally believe that anything he wrote during that time period, God probably discarded it. But you know that when Nathan, the servant of God, showed up, and he knew just exactly what story to tell to get David's attention. And he told that story about the man with the little lamb, and how that the wayfaring man came by and they ended up killing this man's little lamb instead of all of his multitude of flocks. And David, the shepherd in him, said, he got angry and he said, that man should surely die. And Nathan, bless his heart, I don't know what Nathan looked like, but in my mind, he had an index finger that was about a foot and a half long. It had to be a foot and a half long. I guarantee you, at that moment, David thought it was a foot and a half long when Nathan said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. It didn't make David feel very good. And that's what people want in church today. They want the preacher to always make me feel good. I can live any old way that I want. Sin is no big deal. Compromise, worldliness, it doesn't matter. I don't want the preacher making me feel bad about the way that I'm living. But listen, servants of God, that's part of their job.
Yes, sir.
Listen, servants of God don't do it intentionally, but when you preach the truth without compromise and people aren't living according to the truth of God's word, it's going to cause some conviction. It's going to cause, people aren't going to be rejoicing and turning cartwheels. Oh, yeah, preach it, brother. I want to hear that again. No, instead, it's like, that makes me feel kind of bad. David felt bad, but he got on his knees and he got right with the Lord. Say, Nathan was a little bit rough on you. Nathan snuck up on him and came in the back door, didn't he? And those of you that know this preacher very well, I don't come in the back door very good. I just come right through the front door. There's nothing subtle usually. This is what it says. This is what it means. Like it or lump it. And, you know, I'm not going to try to emotionally manipulate you to the altar. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Why? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit of God can speak to your heart the same way that he speaks to my heart. And he changed me, and he can change you as well. I don't have to add my tactics or my personality to it. If you love the truth, God, Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So God speaks through Scripture. He speaks through his Spirit. He speaks through his servants. But then he speaks through his Son. Now, when he speaks through his Son, obviously, there's the Scripture. There's the Spirit of God. Obviously, there's the servant of God. God telling you about Jesus, but listen to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. How does God speak through his Son today? He speaks through the gospel message. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he died on the cross for my sins and for your sins. He died on the cross so that we could not only have a home in heaven, but so that our hearts could be reconciled to a holy God, so that we could have a relationship with him. Our relationship with God can only happen through Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you don't have a relationship with God. And so God speaks to us through his Son. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. One preacher said this, the Bible doesn't have to be understood to be loved, but it has to be loved to be understood. Do you love the Bible? I remember when I got right with the Lord, when my heart got in line with God, when I repented of the sin and the worldliness that was in my life, and I chose to fall in love with Jesus Christ. When that happened, it's amazing how the Word of God started coming to life. Do you ever just read the Bible and it just seems like such a chore? It's like, I'm not getting anything out of this. Well, maybe it's because your heart is not right with the Lord. If you want to understand the Bible, then you need to start loving the Bible. Now, I have a number of years ago, I had to get hearing aids because I have some hearing problems. I can hear noise just fine. I can hear volume, no problem at all. But without my hearing aids, I have a hard time hearing and distinguishing what the voice is saying. I can hear you just fine, but at certain decibels, and if there's a lot of bounce in the room, then I don't understand. It just sounds like Charlie Brown's parents or his teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And so I started wearing my hearing aids. It might have saved my marriage. You know, when I first got my hearing aids, they weren't comfortable. You know, you got to get used to them because they itch in your ears and you got to get used to the sound and all of that. And so I just had a hard time plowing through that. And so I would wear my hearing aids on certain occasions when I'd come to church, but other times I would just, I want to be comfortable, so I wouldn't wear them. And so my wife would be saying something. I'd say, now what was that? And she'd repeat it. And I'd say, now one more time. And she'd go, do you have your hearing aids on? No. So now I still don't understand half of what she says. But if I got my hearing aids in, then at least I can say, would you repeat that? And I can do it 3, even 4 times. And you know what? It's just her decibel, I guess. Some of you wives out there, I think that men just do it conveniently. But, you know, there's different causes of hearing loss. When I first got my hearing tested, my right ear is worse than my left ear. And the first thing that the doctor said was, did you shoot guns very much when you were younger? I grew up in Idaho. Are you kidding? I shot guns when I was 7 years old. And it wasn't BB guns. I can remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, I remember shooting a shotgun. I can remember when I was 9 years old shooting a .44 mag, and when I was 9 years old shooting a .300 Winchester mag. I wasn't standing up, I was on my knees, but you know, my dad taught me don't be afraid of the recoil, and so he started me out young. Shooting guns was a way of life growing up. So why didn't you wear hearing protection? Back then, we'd never heard of it. No one wore hearing protection. And probably when hearing protection first came out and people said, you need to wear hearing protection, people said, huh? There are things that can damage your hearing. There are certain conditions that are certainly hereditary. And there's different ways that you can have hearing loss. Sometimes it's in the ear canal, sometimes it's a mental thing, sometimes it's a neurological thing that causes hearing loss. But if you go to Matthew chapter number 13 with me, there's something that Jesus addresses in Matthew 13 that I think is very important. In Matthew 13 and verse number 9, Jesus, once again, this is a saying that was common of his, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if you look at verse number 15, we saw this last week, He said, "This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing." And that's the first thing that I want to bring out here this morning, is that our ears can be dull of hearing. You use a knife, or I have a woodworking shop, and I have all kinds of different tools. I have drill bits, and I have router bits, and I have saw blades that have carbide tips. And the more that you use a cutting tool, the more that it's going to become dull. Sometimes if you use it the wrong way or on the wrong material, then it can become, there's certain things that you can do with the saw blade. You can cut through, all kinds of board feet of hard pecan or walnut wood, and you can just keep cutting. But you put a dirty piece of wood through that saw blade, just a little bit of dust or dirt, and it'll dull it just like that. Just a little bit of dirt. I wonder how often our ears get dull of hearing because of a little bit of dirt in our life.
Right. That's good for you.
I wonder also if maybe this dull of hearing, when I hear the Lord say that, here's what I think. I think that sometimes we have too much hearing and not enough application. We've just heard the same thing over and over and over again, and we've not done anything with it.
Yes.
And our ears become dull. I think our heart, he says, their heart is waxed gross. The more that we hear the truth and reject the truth, then the harder our heart becomes and the duller that our hearing becomes, until all of a sudden God is speaking. He's giving instruction. He's giving encouragement. He's giving us exactly what we need. And our ears are dull of hearing, and he sounds just like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yes, sir.
Wah, 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 wah. Well, the Lord doesn't speak to me. He's speaking. When I was growing up, there was a really popular commercial. Some of you remember it. It was about E.F. Hutton. I don't even know if E.F. Hutton is still a company, probably merged with some other company. Who knows? All these banks and financial institutions are always merging and shutting down, going bankrupt. But it said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, bunch of old people in here. The young people are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. The commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people would be all busy and all of a sudden they just stop and they turn. People listen. I wonder if people would listen to E.F. Hutton. Why don't we listen to God Almighty? Why don't we listen to God? Who could we listen to that would be more valuable or important than God Almighty? I've read that there's a form of deafness in which a person can hear everything except for words. The problem is not in the ear, but in the brain. He can read a book as understandingly as ever, but every word through the ear reaches his consciousness only as a sound and not as a word. Our heart can get hard. Our neck can get stiff. In Acts 7:51, Stephen said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Are you getting the gist here? That our ears can get dull of hearing. James put it like this in James 1:22. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was."
Yes.
You know what happens? Sometimes we look at the mirror of the Word of God. We come to church, and the preacher preaches, and we know in our heart of hearts that, hey, we're not listening. We're not doing what God's saying. We know what he says. We know it's true. But it's just not convenient. It's just not me. So we look in the mirror and we see it, and then we walk away.
Right.
and we intentionally, purposefully forget all about it. C.H. Spurgeon said, agreement without application produces frustration. That guilty conscience that just ends up paralyzing us because we know better, but we refuse to do better. The attention span of a typical human is 10 praised, 6 promised, and 1 preachy statement. That's about the attention span that most people have toward the things of God. So, dull of hearing. Secondly, go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, you talk about a truth that is relevant to the church today. I'm going to show you God knows exactly what he's talking about. 2 Timothy chapter number, did I say 2?
Yes.
I meant 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 2. Paul says to Timothy, a servant of God, a man of God, a young pastor, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now look at verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. How about that? Tell me a story that holds my attention, that entertains me, but don't just simply tell me the truth and the doctrine of the Word of God. Preacher, don't tell me how I'm supposed to live. Don't tell me what to do. I'll figure that out. I'll ignore that all on my own.
Right.
The appetite of the ears is determined by the attitude of the heart.
Yes.
If we have a heart that's the right attitude toward God, our ears will have an appetite, will have a hunger for Bible truth. A famous orator once addressed the people of Athens, Greece, who paid little attention to his speech. He asked their permission to tell them of one of Aesop's fables. After their consent, he began. Demeter was traveling in company with a swallow and an eel. When they reached the bank of the river, the swallow flew up into the air and the eel plunged into the water. At that point, he stopped for what seemed like minutes. They all demanded, "Well, what about Demeter?" The orator replied, "He is angry with you because you disregard important affairs but are all ears for Aesop's fables." He tricked them. He tricked them with something that they were willing to listen to, a fable, a story, but the things that were important, they didn't seem to be that concerned about. Notice here in this text, it says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Turn just a few pages over to the book of Titus with me, Titus chapter number 2. And you know, it's interesting that these are the things that God says right here, just plain and simple, these are sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2. And verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What are those things? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. How about that? That's pretty strong language, folks. And everything that he just said is sound doctrine. I think we all can agree that the modern Christian church has just completely either ignored or twisted that around.
Yes,
Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, that's taking things dishonestly, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You get where I'm getting, what I'm trying to get at here this morning? Sound doctrine is what people will not endure. It's the kind of things that are just listed right here that affect our social and cultural lives that we live. What we do, where we go, how we dress, what our entertainment choices are. All of these things, God says, these are what he calls sound doctrine. Go to John chapter number 5, and we'll wrap things up here this morning. John chapter number 5, there are two different things here that Jesus addresses that are relevant to how we listen to God. In John chapter 5, and look with me at verse 37, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know what's going on with the Pharisees here? They are reading the Bible, but they're missing the point because they are going in the wrong direction. I mentioned about hearing loss, and you know, one of the big things for me is if you're speaking, I can hear your voice, but if you're turned and facing the other direction, I can hear your voice, but I don't know what you're saying. The Jews had turned their back on God. God was speaking, but they couldn't. They're searching the scriptures. They're using the Bible to justify their religion. He says, in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they have totally missed the point that God was made. They missed it when God sent Jesus Christ, and they couldn't even recognize him. They're walking around with the Bible on their forehead, wrapped around their neck. They're memorizing it. They're chanting it. They got their Hebrew scripture, and it is an important part of their life. And then Jesus, the living word, shows up, and they don't even recognize him. I wonder, in the modern church today, if God were to show up in a mighty way, would we even recognize him? A fool is one who draws wrong conclusions from right premises. And you know, the church today is filled with foolish people that hear the word of God and then draw the wrong conclusions. I'm a firm believer in the grace of God. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by the law. I can't be good enough. I can't be, on my best day, I could never earn not even 1/1,000,000th of a second in heaven. Not even a moment. And that's on my best day, my best year. Listen, none of us can earn any merit with God. It is all his grace. But you know, this modern church today has taken the grace of God and they've made it into something that it is not. Right. Oh, the grace of God means that God doesn't care how I live. As long as I believe in Jesus, we're good. That's foolishness. It's taking the right premise and drawing the wrong conclusion. The Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God. If you really have the grace of God in your life, then it is teaching you. Sometimes we just need to turn toward God before we can actually hear what he has to say. And then look at verse number 40 of the same chapter. Jesus said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive." Now listen to verse 44. "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God only?" You know why people, you know why we don't hear God sometimes? Because we care more about what others think of us than we do what God thinks of us. You know, I've told my testimony I don't know how many times. I got right with the Lord some 40 years ago. Before I got right with God, I was a typical teenager, 18, 19 years old, and boy, I was so worried about what people thought of me. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be respected. I wanted to be part of the crowd. And I found out that all of that just left me. It didn't mean anything. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was in love with the world, and I found out that the world didn't love me back. But I remember that Jesus loved me. All I cared about was what other people thought of me. And I had the Bible, and I heard it in church, in Sunday school. I heard it all growing up, but I wasn't listening. The Jews here, all they cared about is how they looked and what others thought. And Jesus says, how can you believe if you just, all you care about is honor from one another? Until we turn our heart in the right direction and have the right motives and start caring about what God actually has to say, we're never going to listen. We're never going to understand. In 1 John 2:14, John says, "I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written," and listen to this, "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome that wicked one." You know how we get overcoming power in life? By getting the words of God in our heart. We have the word of God in us. God has spoken, and we have listened. We have received it, and we have believed it. Producer Jed Harris became convinced that he was losing his hearing. He went to a specialist who gave him a thorough checkup. The doctor pulled out a gold watch and asked, "Can you hear this ticking?" Harris said, "Of course." The specialist walked to the door and held the watch up again. "Now can you hear it?" Harris concentrated and said, "Yes, I can hear it clearly." The doctor walked out of the door to the next room and said, "Can you hear it now?" Harris said, "Yes." The doctor replied, "Mr. Harris, there is nothing wrong with your hearing. You just don't listen." You just don't listen. His thoughts were slow, his words were few, and never formed to glisten, but he was a joy to all his friends. You should have heard him listen. I wonder if God would say the same thing about us, that's my friend because they listen to what I have to say. You ever had somebody that just talks over the top of you? It happens to me all the time. Sometimes they don't let you get your sentence out. And I joked about it last week. Bless my wife's heart, you know, it takes me so long to get my point made. I get it. But, you know, when you got somebody that's just like, you get halfway into what you're saying and they think they figured it out and they're talking over the top of you, pretty soon, you know what I do? I just shut up. Right. I'm not going to compete. I'm not going to talk over the top of you. If you don't really care, if you really cared what I had to say, then you would just be quiet and you would listen and you'd stop thinking about what you have to say and you'd actually listen to what I have to say. You know, you get around somebody like that, doesn't it just make you feel charged up? You get around somebody that, oh, they can talk your ear off, and you walk away and you feel like that they just sucked the life out of you. They drained your battery. Why? Because any time that you talked, sometimes it's almost like, why are you talking? We're not in this conversation for you to say anything. We're in this conversation for me to talk. You walk away feeling drained. You walk away feeling insignificant. You walk away feeling like they really don't care about what I had to say. How often does God feel the same way about us when we just won't listen? We think that what he has to say doesn't matter. I'm not going to change anything. It's just not that important. I'm okay without what God has to say. Are you listening? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Will you bow your heads with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer.